has fulfilled our new destiny. Behold, the restoration of the Daleks.
This is the Philosopher's Zone. I'm Lynne Malcolm. Today, a program which was first broadcast in 2011, The Evil of the Daleks. To celebrate the work of the late Alan Saunders, we're bringing you a selection from the rich archive of his Philosopher's Zone programs from past years.
You are everything I despise. The worst sin in all creation.
Davros, for the last time, consider what you're doing. Stop the development of the Daleks.
Impossible!
Hello, Alan Saunders here with this week's Philosopher's Zone.
The conquest of humanity has eluded us.
They are totally evil.
Evil? No!
This is not war, this is pest control!
The Daleks have no conscience, no mercy, no pity. They are my oldest and deadliest enemy.
They are among the most loved or most feared villains in science fiction. They are, of course, the Daleks. Fans of the long-running British TV series Doctor Who will know that the Daleks appeared in some of the first episodes of the show in the early 1960s. But what is it that makes Daleks such great baddies? It can't just be their appearance. They look like giant salt shakers with toilet plungers sticking out of them. And really, their speech gets a little repetitive, doesn't it? We are superior, exterminate. And yet, as most people will agree, Daleks are evil. So, what constitutes evil? And why do the Daleks represent a very specific idea about rationality and morality? Today, we'll try to find out. Robin Bunce from the University of Cambridge watched the show as a child.
I grew up in a family of science fiction fans, particularly my dad. He's a big science fiction fan. And my dad also worked for the BBC. He was a cameraman and he shot lots of the original Doctor Who series. So we always watched it, and I loved the Daleks because they terrified me.
Robin Bunce joins us this week to talk Daleks, evil and morality. He's a fellow of the University of Cambridge in the UK and has written about Daleks in a book of essays entitled Doctor Who and Philosophy, Bigger on the Inside.
One of the reasons I found them scary is because they have no face. So it's entirely impossible to kind of read, and they have no kind of body in a human sense. So it's entirely impossible to read body language off them. And it's entirely impossible to read facial expressions off them. And therefore, you know, you're just, it's like talking to a brick wall in a sense.
Apart from being scary, what makes Daleks villainous or more villainous than other baddies?
Yes, I mean, this is the central question that I address in the essay I wrote for the book Doctor Who and Philosophy. Yeah, my concern was, you know, what is it about the Daleks which we recognise, we human beings from the planet Earth, recognise as evil? And what I argue is that there are essentially, since, say, 500 BC, there have been two big theories about what makes things evil. The first theory is the theory that Socrates puts forward, and Plato picks up, and we know it through Plato. And his theory is that good and evil are a case of knowledge and reason. So if we're reasonable people, if we're rational people, and if we've got a good set of knowledge, then we're likely to be good. Whereas if we're ignorant and if we're irrational, we're likely to be bad. So for Socrates and the tradition that follows from Socrates, reason and goodness go together. The other tradition, and the other great ancient moralist, of course, is Jesus. And Jesus argues that, in fact, if we want to be good, we need to love each other. So his appeal is to something quite different. It's not to reason, but it's to emotion, and specifically the emotion of love. So yes, you've got these two different theories of what makes things bad. The Daleks are scary because I think intuitively we recognise that something which has not got the capacity to love cannot be morally good. So I think that's what Terry Nation was trying to do in the script. And I think that's what some of the adults in the audience picked up on.
Well, the Daleks first appeared in 1963, and you've argued that the historical context is crucial to understanding them, and more specifically the ideas of good and evil and rationality and morality that you've just mentioned that the Daleks embody, or, as the case may be, fail to embody. So let's work our way through the early days of the Daleks. What was going on in the 1950s and the early 60s that's relevant here?
Well, yes, I mean, essentially, my argument is that if we're going to understand any text, so Hobbes's Leviathan, to take one example, or Doctor Who, any text is really only understandable, the meaning of the text is really only understandable in the context in which it was written. So I'm arguing that in order to understand the original Dalek script, which is what I focus on in my essay, we need to understand the context of the time. The context of the time and the context that Terry Nation appeals to is the context of a period of maximum nuclear danger. So between, say, 1957 and 1963, there's this kind of half a decade sort of thing where the world faces nuclear war on three occasions. So there's the Berlin crisis, there's a crisis over the Taiwan Strait, and there is, of course, the best known, of course, the Cuban Missile Crisis, which happens just a year before the Daleks is written. So there's an awful lot of fear in the public imagination about nuclear war, and because it looks like a realistic possibility. And if you look at the science fiction films of the time, films like The Day the Earth Caught Fire, or films like The Time Machine, all of these are positing that nuclear weapons are in some way going to wipe us out eventually. And I think if you watch the film The Time Machine, as the time traveller moves forward, I think he hits 1966 and a massive explosion goes off. So clearly in the minds of the people making The Time Machine in 1960, a nuclear war was something which was on the immediate horizon. So that's the immediate context which Terry Nation is writing in. Something else happens in 1969, which is, so nuclear war is the general context for the Daleks. In 1959, something specific happens, and that is that a new kind of weapon is hypothesized. And this new kind of nuclear weapon is what's called a neutron bomb. The amazing thing about a neutron bomb is that, unlike traditional nuclear weapons, which blow things up and just destroy things physically, a neutron bomb will destroy things by emitting a huge dose of radiation. So a neutron bomb is unlikely to destroy a whole city. You know, buildings will still be standing, cars will still be working. But it will kill people because it will emit a massive dose of radiation. So the thing about the neutron bomb, and the word neutron bomb is first used in 1959. The thing about a neutron bomb is it's particularly morally evil because it destroys people and not things. And this is the weapon which is referred to time and again in the Dalek story.
Yes, you discuss at some length the way in which the planet Skaro, on which the Daleks and their enemies, the Thals, live, clearly shows signs of having undergone a neutron bomb holocaust. The Daleks have mutated, and you suggest that even the trees are affected because the material substance hasn't been altered, but they're just not growing anymore.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, the first 2.5 episodes of the Daleks, essentially all the companions do is talk about, oh my goodness, you know, this planet looks like it's been ruined, I'm not feeling very well. So there are all these clues about there's been a nuclear holocaust and the radiation is still in the environment and it's still ready to kill people. So yes, for the first 2.5 episodes, Terry Nation is really playing on the fears of nuclear war.
Now, the Daleks themselves are mutants, aren't they? And I wonder whether it matters that the Daleks are not just mad robots, that there is actually something squishy inside them.
I think from a moral point of view, the answer is absolutely. And here I argue that what Terry Nation is doing is he's appealing to a very new model of dehumanization. So traditionally, if you look at literature and if you look at philosophy and if you look at politics, the way that we turn people into enemies is that we dehumanize them. So traditionally, the way we've done this is we've alleged that other people are like animals, they're brutes. And they're animals because they're less rational than us. So again, rationality being equated with humanity. What happens in the early 20th century is that we get a new set of metaphors for being inhuman. And these new set of metaphors are based on the human being who has become like a robot, or the human being who's become like a computer, or, in the case of the book Brave New World, the human being who's gone through a rational process, and through this kind of scientific rational process, has had their humanity stripped out of them. So the new metaphors are about the human being who is less than human because they're more rational. So this is a complete change around from traditional metaphors. This is exactly what's happened to the Daleks. They have gone through a process which has stripped them of their emotions, and so their bodies have been mutated, but also their psychology is mutated too. So yes, I think it's very important they're not just robots. It's very important they are human. They used to be human, and they have become like robots. That's chilling.
And the Daleks embody the relatively new idea that rationality is something capable, unlike love perhaps, of destroying our humanity rather than being a crucial constituent of our humanity. To what extent do you think this idea had spread through culture by the time the Daleks appeared in 1973, or was it still a little radical?
I think it was a fairly well-known cultural idea by 1963. As I've said, the Brave New World is a classic example of this, but there are a whole series of other books that do similar things. To some extent, 1984, which is, you know, a classic text and everyone's read it, is like this. 1984 is a dystopia like Brave New World, but it's a much more sadistic one. And Winston Smith, the hero of 1984, by the end of it, by the final chapter, he is no longer really properly human because he's had his capacity to feel love stripped out of him in the Ministry of Love through a scientific process of, you know, psychological tricks, drugs, and torture. So I think it was pretty well bedded down in culture by 1963. The other, of course, great writer who plays with these kind of ideas is H.G. Wells. And H.G. Wells is a very unusual guy because on the one hand, he really likes reason and he's trained as a scientist and he studies biology, or is it zoology? I can't remember. But he's a very, very rational guy. But on the other hand, he's kind of frightened by rationality as well. And lots of his villains in The First Men in the Moon, for example, in The Time Machine, to give another example, and to some extent in The War of the Worlds, lots of his villains are inhuman because they're just too rational and they're scary for that reason.
And the Daleks are not only extremely rational in their thinking, or at least in their way of processing information, because they are capable of getting quite excited. But as the Doctor himself says at one point, they are very intelligent and from a very, very advanced civilization. So this is a clearly underlining the message that smarts aren't necessarily connected with goodness or morality.
Absolutely, and that's another big idea that you find in pop culture at the time. And one classic science fiction film, I think it's from the late 50s, is Forbidden Planet. And the thing that happens in Forbidden Planet is that the people who live on this planet, which we never ever see because they've destroyed themselves, they become so clever and so intelligent and so able to manipulate the world of physics that they destroy themselves. And to some extent, again, this is a metaphor for nuclear war. What's happening in the 20th century is we're becoming better and better at creating rockets, better and better at manipulating things. We can split the atom. This is amazing. You know, we've created this amazing civilization. And yet, the product of the civilization, the nuclear bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the neutron bomb, is something that could destroy us all. So, yes, yeah, so I think those were very real worries at the time.
Robin, even the limited vocabulary of the Daleks is limited not because they're not smart and rational creatures, but because they communicate only the bare efficient minimum for what they are trying to achieve, which is to say, domination in the first series of the Thals and later on of the universe.
That's right. And again, this is another idea which is very much in the air at the time that Terry Nation is writing. Yes, I think the best place you can go to find this link between the impoverishment of language and the development of evil is George Orwell's 1984 again, because what the villains are trying to do in 1984 is they're trying to control what people think and control what is possible to imagine through the recreation of language. And the language that they create is not standard English, but the language they turn standard English into this thing called newspeak, or what George Orwell calls newspeak. And of course, the thing about newspeak, as one of the characters says, it's beautiful because you're destroying words. You're continually limiting the vocabulary to make what is thinkable, insofar as thought is dependent on language, limited. So yeah, so I think you're right. I think this is something that Terry Nation has picked up from things like 1984, the idea that if we reduce vocabulary, we also reduce our ability to feel and think.
How is the American philosopher, the late Richard Rorty, useful in thinking about the Daleks, which is, I suspect, something he never thought he was going to be useful in?
I don't know. Richard Rorty was a remarkable man. And I think, although he didn't think of the Daleks because, you know, he wasn't British, he was American and probably, you know, didn't see the Daleks. Richard Rorty was very interested in pop culture. And he thought that the way to make people more moral was to appeal to the moral imagination. And that, of course, is what Doctor Who does. So Rorty is very, very helpful in two ways. First of all, because he's interested in pop culture and because he believes that to be good, we need to expand our imagination. Secondly, he's helpful because he is on the side of Jesus, and which is a weird thing to say because Rorty is an atheist. But nonetheless, he does acknowledge this. He's on the side of Jesus in the sense that he argues that to be good is to love people. And he argues that the human capacity to be good is grounded in our ability to feel for one another, to recognize that even my enemy is part of a community and part of a family who will grieve if, you know, if he's harmed.
Establish visual contact, lower communications barrier.
This is the Philosopher's Zone, and we're talking evil, rationality, and the Daleks with Robin Bunce from the University of Cambridge in the UK.
Identify yourself! State your identity! This is not war, this is pest control! You are superior in only one respect. You are better at dying. Raise communications barrier! All hail the new Daleks! All hail the new Daleks!
Well, we've managed to get this far in our conversation without mentioning the Nazis, so let me bring them in now. Terry Nation has been quoted as saying that the Daleks were in fact much influenced by the Nazis, with the Daleks embodying, quote, the unhearing, unthinking, blanked out face of authority that will destroy you because it wants to destroy you.
Yes, this is the traditional perspective on the Daleks. The Daleks are the Nazis. The interesting thing is that Terry Nation, I believe, says that in the 1970s. So he's saying it kind of 10 years after the Daleks first hit the screen. I don't want to dispute what Terry Nation is saying per se, but I would like to qualify it to some extent. My feeling is that the Daleks become the Nazis probably the second time we meet them. So the second Dalek story is called Dalek Invasion Earth or something of that nature. And in that, we have a London which is bombed out like Blitz London. We have a resistance movement, a bit like the French resistance. And we have the Daleks wandering around shouting, "We're the masters of Earth," in a very kind of Nazi way. So I think the Daleks do become the Nazis, and I think the Daleks are at their most Nazi in the script Genesis of the Daleks, which was written about 10 years after the Daleks first hit the screens. So yes, the Daleks, clearly there is a link between the Daleks and the Nazis. What I would want to say on top of that, however, is that the first time we meet them, in the first Dalek script, the Daleks are quite different. They're all about radiation, they're all about H.G. Wells, and yes, they shout, and perhaps the voices are a little bit like British pastiches of Nazi officers. But the Nazi thing is very much in the background, and H.G. Wells and mutation and the effects of the neutron bomb are very much in the foreground. So I think we're mistaken if we read the Nazis too much into Terry Nation's first Dalek script.
Yes, and as you say, though, it certainly goes that way. There's a line from the Dalek leader Davros during an episode when Tom Baker was playing the Doctor, and Davros says, "They talk of democracy, freedom, fairness. Those are the creeds of cowards. The ones who would listen to 1,000 opinions and try to satisfy them all. Achievement comes through absolute power, and power through strength. They have lost."
Exactly. I mean, that could be the translation of a speech by Hitler, couldn't it?
Yes.
So you're absolutely right. And Davros also is Hitler on another level. And I think this is a very clever thing that Terry Nation does in the script Genesis of the Daleks, because here we have somebody trying to create a master race. That's what Davros was trying to do. That's obviously what Hitler was trying to do. But the thing about Hitler and Davros is that in their own terms, both of them are physically imperfect. Davros is never going to be as perfect as the Daleks he's creating, and Hitler looks nothing like the Aryan race that he's trying to promote. So, yeah, so I think you're absolutely right. By that time, the Daleks were the Nazis, or at least for that those couple of scripts, the Daleks were the Nazis. And the interesting thing about the Nazis was, although we know later that their system of government was deeply, deeply irrational, in the period that Terry Nation was growing up, the Nazis are always understood as being very, very rational, very, very efficient, very, very organised. And there's something terrifying about, at least in the period that the nation's living in, there's something terrifying about the kind of ruthless rationality and efficiency of the Nazis. Also, we've got to remember that Nation's background is in comedy. He's writing lots of comedy scripts. So Nation... And comedy and rationality don't, there's an uneasy mix, or they don't sit together easily. So I think, yes, I think Nation is intuitively or instinctively concerned about rationality. And when he comes to make his villain, that's what he pours into them.
And they do become obsessed with superiority and inferiority, don't they?
They do. And I think that's because later scriptwriters picked up on the direction that Terry Nation was going in. But even the Daleks as Nazis metaphor doesn't work. I mean, as I say, it doesn't quite work in 1963 in the first script, and it doesn't really work in some of the later scripts either. I think what Terry Nation and subsequent Dalek writers have done, which has been brilliant, is that time and again they reinvent the Daleks, and time and again they locate the Daleks within our current fears. So in the late 1960s, and I've never seen these because the Dalek scripts have been lost, it seems to me that the Daleks are pretty much neo-imperialists. They're going around torching forests. And this looks to me like American GIs using napalm in Vietnam in the late 60s. Later on, in 2005, when the Daleks come back, the Daleks are clearly religious fundamentalists, because in 2005, you know, post 9/11, what are we frightened of? We're frightened of religious fundamentalists. The point about the new Daleks is I saw Mark Gatiss, the guy who wrote the script, interviewed, and he said, oh, well, yes, of course, we all know the Daleks are the Nazis, and this is what I've tried to do in this script. And once again, Gatiss is right. The Daleks, as they came back, I think it was last year, were clearly the Nazis, and they have a face-off with Churchill and the RAF. You know, he couldn't have flagged up the Daleks of the Nazis more clearly. But he was doing something else in the script which he didn't acknowledge, and I'm not sure if anyone noticed this. The thing is, at the same time that Gatiss was writing the Dalek script, he was writing a television adaptation of H.G. Wells' classic book, The First Men in the Moon. And the thing about the aliens in The First Men in the Moon is that the aliens in The First Men in the Moon have a very, very regimented society. So some of the moon creatures are drones. Some of the lunar creatures are very good at language. Some of the lunar creatures are very good at intellectual tasks. So they have a very, very stratified society in this book. And what does Gatiss give us in the Daleks? He gives us an incredibly stratified Dalek society with drones and scientists and warriors and the Supreme Dalek. So, yes, the Daleks are the Nazis in that script, but Gatiss is also playing with another idea he's got from H.G. Wells, that is to say, the stratification of society. So I think what Terry Nation and later writers have done is they've reinvented the Daleks. They've made them evil by locating them in whatever it is we're frightened of at the time. And I think that's a very clever thing to do.
Robin Bunce, Fellow of St Edmund's College at the University of Cambridge, speaking there with the late Alan Saunders. Links to the book of essays, Doctor Who and Philosophy, Bigger on the Inside, are on the Philosopher's Zone website. That's at abc.net.au/Radio National. And Alan finished this program by paying tribute to Roy Skelton, who died in 2011. Roy voiced the Daleks for almost 20 years, and here he is in an outtake from the 1983 Doctor Who episode, The Five Doctors.
Exterminate! Exterminate! Exterminate!
Oh, thank you.
This edition of The Philosopher's Zone with the late Alan Saunders was produced by Carla Slaven, with Charlie McCune as sound engineer. I'm Lynne Malcolm, and I'll be back next week with more from The Philosopher's Zone archive. Bye for now.
Behold,